Hello.
Hello, Dr. Perry. How you doing, sir?
Chilling, my man.
All right. So this is a recorded conversation. This is the Naptown Eddie Show. I'm the host, Naptown Eddie, a.k.a. Eddie Parker. And right now I have on the phone Fox contributor, former Fox contributor, Fox News, CNN, Al Jazeera, TV1, BET, even MSNBC contributor. Also, you was a contributor for Miss Oprah Winfrey Network, Queen Winfrey, that's what I call her. And you are the CEO of how many Capital Schools? Four of them? Capital Prep Schools?
Well, yeah, head of schools, yeah, for the Capital Prep Schools, yep, four of them.
Four of them. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am on the phone with host of Breakthrough that will be airing on Fox TV, not Fox News, on January 7th, Dr. Steve Perry. Sir, once again, I want to thank you for calling.
I'm going to be with you, brother. Deeply appreciate you taking time out.
Man, so how's everything been going for you for the past month, ever since you announced the show?
Well, you know, I have a real job, so it's been going like it's supposed to go. I got to get kids ready for college. I got to make sure that my seniors do their applications. The amazingly mundane, wonderful life that I have, which is pretty much that. In terms of the show, it's fantastic.
Okay.
It's another opportunity to take strategies that we use every single day and showcase them on an international platform, which ain't bad either.
Oh, that's cool. Now, you say you have kids. How many you have? And what's the youngest from the oldest?
Well, students and kids, I call them the same thing.
Okay.
Because my kids are my students as well. But I have two sons.
Okay.
One is 14, one is 16. The 16-year-old, today was his first day on his after-school job. So it was kind of, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of dope. He got a job at the local movie theater. He worked really hard to get a job, so he wanted it. I didn't really want him to have it. I'd rather he just focus on school, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
What it is, he's got a goal in mind. He wants to buy himself a car. I'm cool with that, too.
Yeah, because that's the same way for me when I was 16, and my grandparents wanted me to focus more on school. And I was like, hey, I'm making money. But they was like, hey, you going to focus on them grades, you know.
So well, there's that, too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Grades slip, so does the job. The grades move a little bit, it's a wrap.
Yeah, I can understand that. How long you been an educator?
Pardon me?
How long you been an educator? How long you been in the education field?
For sure. Organization, she was an Earthbound program in 1999. So what's that? 21. That's a long time.
Okay.
Hey, so it's been a minute.
Okay. Now, what inspired you to start Capital Prep Schools?
Because I had seen our kids in the traditional neighborhoods really being played. Smart kids who were thought they were. We can do it at least as badly as they can, and it won't bring up.
Okay. Now, for ones that don't know, of course, what are the differences between charter schools and your Capital Prep school?
The primary difference is that we get to work directly with our faculty, with the families. We're not encumbered by teachers' union. Local boards of education that can't identify the behind from the elbow, or any other obstructionist policies that stand in the way of just giving kids the education they deserve. When we found out that 99% of the kids that we accepted into the ninth grade from the neighborhood schools could not do math on grade level, we did not have to go in and rewrite a contract in order to offer another class. We just offered another math class because we need another math class.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that simple.
Okay.
And as a result, our children had the highest percentage of our school had the highest percentage of students who met the state's growth trajectory in the entire state in just 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to do those things that the kids need. The difference between us and the traditional neighborhood schools is we're not caught up in the long held politics mm-hmm. of education around race, racism, classism, and other issues that deeply undercut the performance of Black and Latino children in schools.
Okay. And as far as Black children in schools, do you think public schools are still appropriate for African-American children in this generation?
They never were. I mean, I think we're playing ourselves when we have that conversation. There is an achievement gap because Black and Latino children are performing lower as a race and as ethnicities in these schools. So it's absolutely absurd that we're still in a place where we're having these as conversations. The schools just don't work at all. When you look at the fact that less than that just over 90% of African Americans are not qualified for college as per the SAT or the ACT as a result of having attended their nearby neighborhood school, that's problematic. And you can say, well, it's because of poverty. Well, all Black people ain't poor. let's get that straight. We ain't all poor, and 90% of us definitely ain't poor. So how do you explain that? Well, we're all Black, and we're all in a system that was never designed to equally educate African American children. It never was. It never was. And it never will be. Not in our lifetime.
Okay. Because see, it seems it doesn't matter which particular party that's, you know, running the local and state and federal government. It's still not, to me, it's still not helping the education advancement of African American children. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. Here's where the challenge lies, though. The challenge is here. Among the Democrats, the commitment is to labor in all forms, and it's labor above all things. And so when we can show, and we can, that certain strategies which are driven by labor impact negatively student performance, the Dems still support labor over children. It's just a fact. Their only contribution to the conversation in education is generally give the schools more money. Like, that's the whole answer for them, which is not the answer, because it's giving more money was the answer, then we should send our children to prison, because that's what the most, but that's not the answer either. So here's where the paradox is. There are a number of Republicans, whether we like it or not, were open to the idea that parents, above all else, that they are the primary unit of responsibility for raising children, and therefore the primary determinant of what the best school is for their child, should have choice. And so therein lies the paradox. If you mess with the Dems, you're going to get jammed up, because they're going to send your kids to the neighborhood school, regardless of how terrible the school has been for 3, 4, 5, 6, and 10 generations.
Exactly.
If you mess with the Republicans, then you find yourself jammed up, because they have real issues with some of the very real issues that otherwise impact our community, whether it be health care, criminal justice, something. And the like. So it's hard to tell, but in terms of pure commitment to school choice, which to me is the single most important part of the conversation, meaning you and I should be able to send our child to the school that's best for them. And because we believe in free public education, they shouldn't have to pay for it any more than the tax dollars that have been collected on their behalf, then very often the GOP is the one most often supporting that, but then they don't support some of the other things that we need. So you have to decide. You have to pick your poison.
Yeah. It gets to that point in this generation that people are tired of picking out poison, especially, I mean, even though we know it's poison, but you guys still ain't doing nothing. And what's the alternative if you hearing a politician that's talking the same old bull crap over and over again that the last politician was saying in the last generation? It's like, what hope do you have, especially in the education system for African American children?
Well, one of the worst things that happened to the ed reform movement has been the election of Donald J. Trump. And the reason why it's been so bad is because the people who've been fighting to maintain the status quo, which means you're a minority, we want to force you into your school in order to make sure that the largely white middle class people teach you or are paid to teach you, get to keep their jobs, then because of his role, they're able to talk school choice and make it seem like it's his deal. But Black people have been fighting for school choice since, I don't know, 1954, when Brown versus Board of Education was put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And an African-American mother said, well, the father said, I'm not sending my child to name because it's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court said it then and has said every single time since then, sending children to inherently unequal school systems is against their constitutional rights, their human rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yet and still, we have that as an issue. So we have to continue to fight for school choice because every single family deserves to send their child to a great school, regardless of where they live, regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, regardless of their economic status.
Hmm. Okay. Now, this has been lingering over. I mean, you know, this is what I've been thinking about. HBCU schools. Now, after the Brown versus Education, it was 1954, some black people were allowed to go to white school. It was, you know, gradually, but to this, in this generation, you know, more of us are considering going to white schools than black, you know what I'm saying, than historically black colleges. But here's a complaint that I've saw from a Caucasian woman on Twitter that, you know, you black people, you know, bitch about schools, but you have your own black colleges that you won't let us in. You know what I'm saying? What do you think about that? Let me ask you this. Is it still necessary for historically black colleges?
So the first part, let me just respond to the first statement that I heard you make.
Mm-hmm.
There is no prohibition from allowing white people to attend historically black colleges. That's why they're called historic, not exclusively black colleges. So that's a very important thing to clear up.
Mm-hmm.
White children and Latinos and Latinas. I just spoke at one last week, and there were Mexicans there, there were white students there, and doing just fine. So that's just not true. The second thing is, yes, I do think that schools that began serving African-Americans and Latinos need to continue to serve African-American and Latinos. I'm sure that the people who run them would welcome anyone attending. But there is something about a school that was designed with the expectation that it would take into consideration the very real and distinct needs of people of color,
mm-hmm.
unlike schools that were not. And as a result, have created a history within our community, still are said to be responsible for the majority of the PhDs, the majority of attorneys, and majorities of physicians who are African-American at one point or another in their academic career went to a historical black college. So it says something about that. And as an African-American who started schools, I definitely think it's important for us to start our own schools and run our own schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you come to a Capital Prep school, you are coming to what my oldest son referred to as a historically black high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we have white students who attend? Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Do we love our white kids? They're kids. Yeah, we do.
Good.
But keep it 100 that we are a school that began with the expectation that African Americans and Latinos would be given full access to all the courses that are offered, not just the ones that other black kids take, which was the impetus as to why it was we started our first school, because I saw so many African American and Latino children who were being cordoned off into an intellectual ghetto where they were taking classes that were beneath their academic capacity and would have ultimately undermined their goals of going to college because they would not have had the requisite number of courses that to attend a four-year college. So even if they had good grades, they would not have had the right classes. So they would not have had enough credits in the appropriate areas to go to a four-year college. So they were being hustled by a system and they didn't even know it. It was the equivalent of being academically a carbon monoxide poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
It was silent but deadly.
Okay. Now you started your prep schools. It was in Philadelphia.
Oh, we started our first Harvard. We started our next school. We started our first school in Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
And then we started our next school in Harlem. New York. Oh, no, I'm sorry, in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And then we started the next one in Harlem. Then we started another one back in Bridgeport. And now we're starting another one in the Bronx.
Okay, so nowhere near Pennsylvania. Okay.
No, sir.
Okay.
Where I went to school, but no.
All right. Now, are you familiar with educator Umar Johnson? And are you?
I had heard of him.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with his work. No disrespect to the brother.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Well,
not as, you know.
This okay. He's planning on starting a school named after Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey. He's been doing it for the past 3 to 4 years, and he needed about $4 million to raise for the school. A couple of celebrities have pitched in or whatever. He's been caught in the middle of scandals, so it's been his school been able. It's been the process been slowing down. The point of me mentioning this, he was talking about allowing certain teachers into his school. He said he won't allow homosexuals or lesbians in his school, which I think is outrageous. It shouldn't matter what orientation you are. You know, it's about the job you can do for the kids. But the one of the reasons that I'm quoting this because, you know, these teachers nowadays, you have attractive blonde women that are having sex with students. Even there's some black men in the past, and, you know, men, of course. How are you vetting the teachers at your school? That's where it's
so,
at. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was a lot of information there.
Yeah.
I'll respond to the last part.
Okay.
There's no way to stop a criminal from committing a crime,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what their job is.
Mm-hmm.
No one hires anybody with the expectation that they're going to do anything to hurt children. Mm-hmm. And no one comes in saying that they're going to hurt children. I dare say also that the people who end up hurting children probably didn't start off thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never thought of themselves as doing something so ridiculous. But they do it. And so the best thing that you can do is to create an environment where children can form appropriate relationships with adults. And in most cases, they be treated public schools, charter schools, private schools, Catholic schools, online schools, vocational technical schools. In most cases, the overwhelming majority of adults do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, of course, you and P. Diddy then got together, and y'all starting to get another school started. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Okay. How did y'all hook up on that?
Well, it started really simply. I was leaving an engagement party that he was at. I know that's kind of trippy, but and why was I there? I don't even know. I know the brother was getting married and good friend. And I invited him to his party, and Puff was there, and Jay-Z was there, and Joe King was there, and a bunch of people were there. So I looked at Brian and thought, man, I need to get out of here. I don't belong here. I got to go. You know, I was leaving, and on my way out, I came across, you know, I was leaving, and I saw stuff, and we, I don't want to say bumped into each other, but, you know.
Right.
He said hello. He said hello, and I said hello. He introduced himself. I was like, work. And then he said, so yeah, that would be a lot. On CNN. And so we started talking, and he said, when he told me something he'd never told anybody, I said, that's no problem. He said, I've always wanted to start a school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, this was 6 years ago. This is before anybody was talking about doing any stuff like that. And I said, that's dope. You know, good luck with that. And he said, nah, I think we should start a school together. And I was like, wow, I'm kind of good right now where I am. I got a school in Hartford, and I'm straight. I had no intentions of opening more schools. But over the next 3 to 4 years, you know, communicating pretty regularly, just checking in on one another. And nobody knew he had anything to do with it. And then he, at one point, said, basically, if two brothers were at the top of the game, get together and make something happen for kids and education, how powerful would that be? And it's like, you know what? Let's go.
Right.
Let's do that. So, you know, two black men coming together to start schools can't be a bad idea.
No.
And, you know, our crew was pretty good at running schools. So, and he's very good at doing things that he does. So we put those things together and we're here.
Wow. And that's an amazing story. You know, I had P. Diddy of all people. You know, that man's a billionaire, too. Well, probably close. Ain't no telling. But that's awesome when two, you know, successful brothers can get together and start a school. A lot of brothers need to start doing that. Maybe colleges or stuff like, you know, something like that. or more businesses. That's what I would say.
Well, you know what? I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more, a few things more rewarding than to be with somebody who wants to do right by kids. And is it good that he's a celebrity? Sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes, but it's not an absolute good.
Hmm.
Because on some level, people question the work that we do. So sometimes when you get visibility for doing good, it works against you.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to know why you do it. And why we're doing what we're doing is because we both believe in our community. Mm-hmm. You know, we both are brothers who, regardless of our circumstances now, regardless of his income bracket or as things have changed for me since I grew up poor, that our commitment remains the same, which is to move our community forward, and that's what we're here to do.
That is a positive way to look at it, because it's like, how can I say, you know, it's a lot of celebrities that get together. It doesn't mean that, you know, just because they're celebrity is gonna be right, and especially if they had the resources, if they don't have the correct plan or execution, it's not gonna work well. You know.
Well, and to Puff's credit, one of the things he's made it clear is, look, I don't run schools. I'm not even trying to run schools. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I do what I do, you do what you do, and let's keep it moving. That's where we are.
Okay. Do you plan on starting any more schools?
Yes.
How many?
Absolutely.
You don't have a number, or
so we're looking at. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
7 and 10. We'd like to start. But the true answer is we want to run as many schools as we can run really well.
Gotcha.
So if it's 7, then it's 7. If it's 700, then it's 700. If it's only 4, then it's 4.
You ever thought about starting any schools in the Midwest, like Chicago, Indianapolis?
Yes, I've thought about. Especially people of color who need access to a quality education. Every single community I've ever been in, the one thing that I know for sure is that everybody has really, really bright kids, really bright kids who just need a school system that is not afraid of them, loves them, and wants them to be the very best that they can be.
Okay. Now, tell us about the new show on Fox.
So the new show on Fox
Breakthrough. Is
called Breakthrough with Dr. Steve Perry.
Okay.
And
are you something like a Dr. Phil and Steve Harvey? Or?
Nah, I'm like a Dr. Steve Perry, and Steve is like Steve, and Phil is like Phil. And I respect their gangster and all that they do, and I'm a fan at least of Steve. No disrespect to Phil. I just never watched the show.
Because I didn't see you on TV, brother. I didn't see you with the suits now.
Well, I do what I do. the suits are my work clothes. So if you came to the school, I'd be wearing the same suit. But
okay.
That's me.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Tell everybody about your show Breakthrough.
So Breakthrough is about helping people identify the issues that are standing in their way every single day. That's what we're coming to do. Not here to clown people. Ain't gonna be nobody throwing chairs, none of that.
No Jerry Springer mess.
Nah, I'm not for that. I mean, black people in particular, black and Latino people in general, and poor white people too. I mean, have really been clowned for too long. Enough of that. We don't need that. Nobody needs to see any community, especially a community that is clawing its way up in a system that has for so long sought to destroy it, or at least allow it to just die on the vine, passively destroying it, destroying itself anymore. Not to be on TV for a couple hundred dollars, it ain't worth it.
I know, that's
fight,
right.
Fight your sister? Yeah, we're not doing that. So what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of really cool things. You're going to be very, very excited. As a brother, you're going to be proud. I promise you, you're going to be proud. Because it's going to feel like a conversation that you know needs to be had. And you're going to see people's lives open up right before your very eyes. And then you're going to see some people who ain't ready yet, who ain't ready for something to change.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to learn from it no matter what, and that's super important.
Okay. Like, say if a celebrity, because, you know, like Dr. Phil counsels celebrities, and Ayala Van Zant. I guess I can pronounce the name right.
Ayala Van Zant, yeah.
Yes, she counsels celebrities. Also, have you will your show consider bringing on celebrities to the show that needs a breakthrough?
My grandmother said one time that people is people.
Okay.
And so just because somebody's well known, it doesn't mean anything more than that they're well known.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't mean that they're immune to or more susceptible to any other life's circumstances. So I see people as people, and since I see people as people, I would work with anybody who wants to work.
Got you.
And that's on TV or in person. It's just this whatever. So if somebody came to me and said, "Yo, can I come on your show?" If they're for real, yes, I'm about that life. But if they're not, nah, they kick rocks. I'm not here for them. I'm not here to promote their show. That's just not what I do. There's nothing against them, you understand? But there's so many people who are just itching to get some help with their son, or itching to get some help with their partner, or itching to get some help with themselves. You know, they want out a woman up there, Cassie, you know, beautiful, redhead young woman, two beautiful little children, both under 5 years old, and her husband just killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can use my time on air to help her and other people who've lost their husbands and wives or children, whomever, to suicide, then I want to do that. And there's a lot of shows and platforms that will promote people's music and movies, and that's what they're there for, and that's not really what I'm there for.
I know.
It's just not my gig.
Yeah.
But please be clear, I'm not dogging people out who do it. I'm just saying it's just not my gig.
Right.
I'm not very good at it, so I should just do what I'm good at.
Right. I could dig that, you know, you especially have your own lane and you ain't trying to be messy with your
product. That's the best way to say it. I'm not trying to be messy. I want to keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you watch me in my schools or you watch me on television, you're going to see the same dude.
Yeah.
If you came to my crib, you see the same dude. That's me. I'm not putting on ass for anybody. That's just, I'm not interested in it because I can't keep them up.
Right.
I'll forget, and I won't do what it is that people say I'm supposed to do. So
I feel you. Once again, man, I appreciate you even taking the time to talk to me, and I will be looking forward to the show Breakthrough January 7th. I have my DVR set on that. Trust and believe.
Please do. And recognize that if we want us on TV, then we got to support us when we are on TV.
Heck yeah.
So,
yes, indeed.
I mean, Wakanda forever, brother.
Wakanda forever, for real. For real. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Steve Perry. Make sure y'all check out Breakthrough on Fox TV January 7th. Make sure y'all check that, set your DVRs for that show. Once again, Dr. Steve Perry, I appreciate you for taking the time. Hopefully, we get to chat in person one day.
I'm looking forward to it, bud. You take good care of yourself. Be safe.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Have a good one.
All right, peace.